Well, let's start in Luke 16. Luke 16. I know in several of our other classes we've dealt a lot with the fact that Jesus is God, and that's really where I always start with Jehovah's Witnesses, because it really doesn't matter what other argument you may or may not win with them. If they don't believe that Jesus is God, there's no salvation there. So, but I was on their website. It's jw.org. J-W-O-R-G. Just to make sure I was up with their latest ideas. And they list myths on there. So myth number one, they say, is that the soul is immortal. They say that's just a myth. So immortal means never ending, everlasting, or continual. That's from Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. Immortal means never ending, everlasting, or continuing. And so they say it's just a myth, that it's not true, that the soul is immortal. So in other words, they believe that people just cease to exist. So at the end of their article, it says, fact, at death, a person ceases to exist, end quote. So that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. Well, that brings to mind a lot of passages, doesn't it? But let's go to Luke 16. Luke 16 and verse 19. Luke 16, 19. So let's see if people cease to exist after death. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and ceased to exist. Is that what it says? No. It says, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So the beggar didn't cease to exist. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And what? In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So the rich man didn't cease to exist. He found himself immediately in hell, in torment. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am what? Tormented in this flame. Now, what things in that verse, verse 24, would tell us that he had not ceased to exist? Okay, suffering pain. Okay, what else? Okay, he saw them. What else? Pardon me? Oh, he still remembered, right? He had a memory. If he ceased to exist, what's this about memory? What else? He's asking for Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. So he's thirsty. He's hot, tormented. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. So many things there. He hasn't ceased to exist at all. In verse 25 then, but Abraham said, son, what? Remember. You know, when you're young, this isn't quite as big of a deal, but the older you get, the more you think about things that happened in your life. Like, it seems like a lot of elderly people, even when they start getting like Alzheimer's and things, so they kind of lose memory of like recent things. But a lot of times those same people can remember something that happened way back in their childhood. Just many, many, many elderly people in talking to myself and my wife, they'll bring up things that happened way in their childhood. Have you ever seen in a nursing home situation where an elderly lady has a baby doll she's carrying? Yep, it's like they revert to the memory of when they were just little, like children. I don't understand all the mind, but I know when the mind begins to go, it still has those memories of way back when they were young. And it often comes out. So Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." You think about the Supreme Court justice who passed away, and you think, of all the, I mean, my prayer was that she would get saved, repent and get saved. But to my knowledge, she never did that. I mean, I never heard anyone say there had been any change in her in that regard. But just think about all the ungodly decisions that she pushed for. I think, if I'm not mistaken, she was one of the justices that actually married a sodomite couple when it was against the law. And she, a Supreme Court justice, is doing it anyway. But you know what? Right now, she has a totally different outlook. It's too late for her, but she knows now what's right and what's wrong. But it's too late. Too late to go back. So the Jehovah's Witnesses say that it's just a myth that the soul is immortal, that the soul is never ending, that it's everlasting, that it's continual. But as we see from the scripture right there, the soul is immortal for both saved and lost. The soul is immortal for the saved. The saved goes to be with the Lord. The soul of the lost is immortal, never ceasing. And they will suffer in hell. And then at the great white throne judgment, they'll be resurrected and then cast in the lake of fire. So their soul is never going to cease to exist. Let's go to Psalm 146. Psalm 146, 3. You'll find that to be true when it comes to cults, false religions. They'll make it so hell is not eternal, or they'll give a second chance, like the Roman Catholic Church. You know, they'll hold to purgatory, but you know, there's all these second chances because it's just a man-made religion. Psalm 146, verse 3. "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish." So, what does this mean here? In that very day his thoughts perish. If the soul is immortal, if it never ceases to exist, why is it saying here, when compared to Luke 16, "Son, remember," and now why is it saying, "In that very day his thoughts perish"? How would we explain this? His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish.
His physical body dies.
Okay, his physical body dies. This brain, I mean, they have machines that can tell if there's any brain activity. But that's just the physical brain, that part. That is what it's talking about. In that very day his thoughts perish. From the physical brain. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3:19. Ecclesiastes 3:19. Now, a lot of the cults use these verses too, but they don't take the whole context. Ecclesiastes 3:19. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above what? A beast, for all his vanity. So the cults say, see? They say, man just ceases. When man dies, he goes into the dust. He ceases, just like the animals. The problem is they don't read on, do they? Verse 20. All go into one place. All are what? Of the dust. And all what? Turn to dust again. So now we know this passage is just talking about the physical body. The animals made out of the dust. We made out of the dust. Our physical bodies. So that's what it's talking about. Verse 20. All go into one place. All of our bodies go back to dust. But verse 21. Who knoweth the what? The spirit of a man that goeth where? Upward. So man has to answer to God. And this tells us right here, man doesn't cease to exist. Because when the body does cease to exist and goes back into the dust, verse 20, the spirit goes upward, has to meet God one day. And of course, that would be at the great white throne judgment. And the spirit of the beast that goeth where? Downward to the earth. So the beast does perish. Even though sometimes when people have pets, they like to think that they're taking their pets to heaven. There was a preacher who evidently loved cats. Hard to believe, isn't it? But anyway, so in his older years, he talked about, you know, pets being in heaven. And I don't know if he was just jesting or not, but people change. So who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? So that's the context. And we've seen in other classes, man is a three-part being. 1 Thessalonians 5.23. Man is a three-part being. 1 Thessalonians 5.23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So our spirit, soul, our spirit, soul, and body. So we are made as a three-part being. We are not three different beings. We're one being with three parts. Like God is three in one. And I'm not saying that we are a trinity, that we are deity, because we're not. But we are made in the likeness, the image of God. So He made us as three-part beings. So Jehovah's Witness, they say it's a myth that the soul is immortal, that the soul does not cease. But we've seen that's false. It's not a myth. The soul is immortal, ever with the Lord or ever in torment. Number two, myth number two, they say, is the wicked suffer in hell. They say, and I quote them, hell, in the biblical sense, is simply the common grave of mankind, where all activity has ceased, end quote. And that's once again from jw.org. And at the end of that article, it says, I quote, they say this, quote, fact, God does not punish people in hell, end quote. Wow, we've seen the opposite of that, haven't we? Well, let's just take a few of those verses here. Luke 16:22. So Jehovah's Witnesses say hell in the biblical sense is simply the common grave and that God does not punish people in hell. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses falsely say. Luke 16:22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried in what? In hell. He lifted up his eyes being in torments. So, very clearly. In verse 24, He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am what? Tormented in this flame. People argue about, is there really fire in hell? Well, the rich man said, I am tormented in this flame. So it's pretty clear. Yes, there is fire in hell. And yes, God does punish people in hell. Then let's go to Mark 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Mark 9:43. So, Jehovah's Witnesses say that God does not punish people in hell, but that is contrary to what the Scripture teaches. Mark 9:43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into where? Hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So we're on to do road cleanup again. And this coming week probably we'll try to accomplish that. But many times when we've been doing road cleanup, we'll come across the carcass of a deer. And I didn't come across one this year that was covered with worms, but last summer I believe it did. And it's the grossest thing. But why do we come across a carcass and with no more worms? Well, it's probably because there's nothing more left to eat from it. But this, people that go to hell, it says their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So this is just another proof that man that is cast into hell is never consumed. They are there being tormented forever and ever. That's the clear teaching of their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Verse 45, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. This also deals with repentance. You know, sometimes people just say, well, repentance is only a change of mind. It has nothing to do with actual actions. Well, if it does not have anything to do with actual actions, then verse 43, why cut your hand off? Or verse 45, why cut your foot off? If it's only in the mind that repentance must be and has no effect on what my hands do. Think of all the people that their hand takes that mouse on the computer and clicks on something that they shouldn't be looking at. Or their feet take them somewhere where they shouldn't go, like a bar or someplace. Or verse 47. And if thine what? I offend thee. Pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So once again, if repentance only deals with a change of mind and no change of life, then why would you pluck your eye out? So if my eye can't send me to hell, if my foot can't send me to hell, if my hand can't send me to hell, why would I cut them off or pluck it out? So this is teaching true repentance. So, but once again, our main thought right here, right now, is that hell is real. So as Jehovah's Witnesses say that hell in the biblical sense is simply the common grave of mankind where all activity has ceased. Well, in the grave, the worm is going to die. Now, in these modern caskets, they're airtight. I wouldn't think worms could survive in an airtight atmosphere. But I don't know about that. But this is picturing hell fire. Not the grave. It's hell fire. So, and so Jehovah's Witnesses say, fact, God does not punish people in hell. Well, indeed he does, because he casts them into the fire that's never quenched, and their worm will never die. Let's look at Jude 7. Jude 7. So you can see Jehovah's Witness religion is just a man-made religion, and that's why, hey, if you're going to think up a man-made religion, no man-made religion is ever sure. That's why when we ask people, are you sure you're going to heaven when you die? Are you 100% sure? If they're following a man-made religion, they're never going to be able to answer yes. Because there's no man-made religion that gives an absolute guarantee, because it's always by works or something. So they're never going to be able to say, yes, I know for sure. And on the other hand, they're never going to really believe in an eternal lake of fire for those who reject Jesus Christ, because they don't want to make up something that might send them eternally to torment. So Jude 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for what? An example. Oh, an example of what? Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So God set them forth. In what way did he do it? So the whole world would see. How did he destroy Sodom? Fire and brimstone. In fact, they've done some excavations over there, and there are balls, literal balls of brimstone, still stuck in parts of that, what's now is just ashes. And they've checked the purity, and I forget what the percentage is, but those balls of sulfur and brimstone that are in destroyed Sodom, it's like, are a very high percentage of sulfur and brimstone. It's like, where did this come from? Well, it came from God. So, Sodom and Gomorrah, it's not just what we read about it, but you can see the ruins. And they've tested that. The sulfur, the fire and brimstone. And so they're set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So they, and that's another reason, another question we're going to go over eventually in the previous class is cremation. More and more people are getting cremated now at death. And a couple reasons. One is to save money, because cremation, I'm not sure right now on the funeral home costs, but I know there's a billboard down in Grand Rapids that advertises it for like $9.95. Not $9.95, but $995 cremation. And that's way cheaper than, I mean, the average funeral, I believe, is like $8,000 to $10,000. But when you get cremated, so you save the cost of, you know, you don't even have to have a visitation at the funeral home if you don't want it. So many still do, but you don't have to buy a grave, you know, a plot. Many of them don't. They just scatter the ashes or keep the ashes in an urn in their house, or scatter the ashes. You know, if the guy loved to golf, I don't know how the golf course would take that, but if they didn't tell him, you know, they might spread their ashes on the golf course. Or if, you know, if it was a guy who really loved to fish, you know, they may go out in a boat and just dump his ashes in the water, thinking they're really giving him great enjoyment, you know, because he loved to be on the water, so now his ashes are on the water. You know, crazy, foolish things like that. But as a Christian, our end is not fire, is it? Our end is being with the Lord. So we leave the wrong picture. You know, if we burn the body, and I know sometimes people die in fires, and I understand that. And, you know, that doesn't curse a person to hell if a person's saved. But it leaves the wrong picture as a Christian. If I request my body to be cremated, then the last picture I left was being destroyed by fire. But that's not our end. But with Sodom, God did give that picture, because it is their eternal end is fire. Notice in Matthew 25. So once again, the Jehovah's Witnesses say it's just a myth that the wicked suffer in hell. Matthew 25, 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? The King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into what? Everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And some people say, I don't understand how a loving God could prepare such a place for man. Well, He prepared it for the devil and his angels, but it's also going to be the home of people who rebel, like Satan rebelled against God. Verse 42, For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go into what? Everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So, does God punish people eternally in hell? The lost? Yes, He does. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. And once again, on the repentance matter, why does the Lord bring up all of these works? We're not saved by works, but why does He bring them up? It shows the truth of, had they really repented? You go with me into Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And verse 5, Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? Good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So we are not saved by our works. But it's interesting, when Jesus comes to set up His kingdom in Matthew 25, He is going to show who is saved and who is not saved by their works. That's how He's going to show it. So it's important.